Good afternoon. I think we're a self-moderated session, so I'm one of three presenters and we'll be introducing ourselves. Welcome you guys from your lunch or early break back from lunch. My name is Ann Steedley and I'm with Affirm Planning Communities. We're a small women-owned business. We do a lot of work in community planning and in transportation planning, and have recently been working in the health arena, particularly around active transportation. And we've been working through the American Public Health Association on something called the Transportation Health Tool. This session is focusing on a variety of resources that are out there and available around transportation and health, and that is one of those resources. First, to present the disclosure, I have no relationships to disclose per the APHA guidelines for presentation. In my presentation, we're going to focus a little bit on just understanding some of the transportation and health connections that are out there. You may be very familiar with this. We're going to talk a little bit about how those connections are being integrated into current and recent tools and practices that have been going on at the federal level in particular, but also federal scans of what's going on in state and regional levels. And my presentation will come a little bit more from the transportation background. We have some presenters who will talk more from the health direction. And finally, I'll talk a little bit more in depth about the Transportation and Health Tool, which was just released in the past week by CDC, U.S. Department of Transportation, and the American Public Health Association working together. So that's a great online resource that's available as of the past week that we'll talk a little bit about today, but you can check out following the presentations. So when we're looking at this issue of how transportation and health are connected, there are some connections that are more obvious to folks or ones that get a lot of dialogue. Perhaps it's air quality or water quality, or just travel safety, fatalities, injury rates, and looking at those issues. And recently, a lot of focus has been placed on active transportation modes. A lot of focus. We still need a lot more funding, a lot more investment, but active transportation is definitely part of the dialogue. Some other areas that are more subtle that some of these tools are beginning to address are looking at the issues of access, whether it's access through the transportation system to medical facilities, basic care and services, or parks and recreational opportunities. Access is certainly a big connection between our transportation network and our health. The built environment and community design also, if we design great parks, great transportation facilities, but folks don't feel safe traveling in those areas, whether it's inadequate lighting or other aspects, there's a lot of elements to the built environment that can influence how we use those systems. So one thing that was a part of work that was actually done for the Transportation and Health Tool, which we'll touch on in the end, was kind of understanding the impact pathways. How do we get from policy discussions and policy decisions that agencies are making on the transportation and health sectors, and how do we get all the way to health outcomes? And so the World Health Organization has a model that's kind of that shows in a general sense how those public investment decisions get all the way to health outcomes. And in work that we did, we specifically looked at how transportation-related policies and programs get all the way through transportation outcomes into environmental conditions and ultimately into health outcomes. So there's a scan on here, but you know, whether it's federal and state and local funding and how that funding is allocated across different types of transportation or the land use planning process, this ultimately creates the transportation network and the land use network that you see. And that network has outcomes, whether it's how many people are traveling by car, how many people are able to walk on foot, how is our emissions from all that travel, and it ultimately resulting in ambient conditions and environmental exposures and then health outcomes. These are, you know, both acute in terms of fatalities and long-term chronic health effects. So I'm going to cover several federal, state, and regional practices that have been primarily identified, inventoried, and reviewed by U.S. Department of Transportation. Ed Christopher, who helped work on this information and has been involved with several of these initiatives, is in the audience, and Ed will be able to answer some of the questions about that. We'll look at metropolitan examples, kind of at the local level. We'll look at some of the state initiatives that are going on. And we'll look at two tools. One, as I mentioned, that was recently released, the Transportation and Health Tool. And then an upcoming tool that is going to be released, which is around health and corridor planning. And in transportation, corridor planning is kind of an early phase of analysis. You're really looking at that linear corridor and you're making decisions. And that's a great time to integrate health into your planning. And then to just provide a general introduction, particularly for those folks in the audience who are health practitioners and don't come from the transportation or planning arena, there's a website that Federal Highway provides that provides access to understanding Federal Highway's programs that relate to transportation and health, their funding sources, and how to work with those. So that's a great resource for those who are coming from outside transportation and trying to work with federal agencies or with states who have federal funding coming through. So one report that was funded by the Federal Highway Administration was a scan of metropolitan planning organizations, which is essentially just kind of a regional organized planning organization that plans for a metropolitan area. And there were four case studies kind of inventoried in this report. This report was being developed at a time where, at least in the transportation arena, the idea that transportation and health were related was a new concept. So the idea was, who's looking into health and transportation and what are they doing out there? And if you get a chance to go on Federal Highway's website, and we provide the link in this presentation, which will be uploaded, and get in there and look at what they're doing. Nashville, for example, is doing some great work around really integrating health into their transportation planning. They have recently been working on their household travel survey and actually added in some questions about health outcomes. Normally it's just a travel survey, so really doing some very specific things there. This report also just kind of generally showed a framework for how kind of health consideration process and the transportation planning process could be correlated, and it identified specific areas that other metropolitan planning organizations could use to include specific goals that would serve health: safety, air quality, physical activity, and access. And you'll see those come up again in the transportation and health tool. So one of the examples that we pulled, and we did this because later I'm going to demonstrate looking at a particular indicator in the transportation and health tool, was we pulled the example of the Puget Sound Regional Council. Now this report is somewhat dated, so some things from the report have been implemented, some things have not, but I think the important thing here was that it was a long-range planning process that began to incorporate health, started in the early 2000s, and that their Transportation 2040 plan very specifically included health-related measures, not just air and water quality, but looking at safety for non-auto modes, and looking at environmental health. And then also in this region, there's been a lot of grant activity that could build on the work that was being done at the regional level. And ultimately, to implement a lot of these transportation and health strategies, you need that local funding, that local grant activity. There was also at the same time a state of the state, I guess, Transportation Planning for Healthy Communities report, and it looked at five DOTs in depth. It scanned practices from 10 DOTs in total. And, you know, had everything from states like California. We'll have a presentation from work in that region. California, where it's really an issue, it's on the table and it's active. Massachusetts, similarly, down to more rural states and settings. And it showed, again, here a similar framework for how health and transportation can be integrated, but at the statewide level. So, wanted to pull an example from this of the Iowa Department of Transportation, because I think what this shows, if you are familiar with the field of transportation planning, is that, you know, transit is one of the modes that isn't always thought of in the same way at the state level, but thinking about transit makes a lot of sense when you're talking about looking at health issues and healthcare access. So in Iowa, even though it's a very rural state, they were looking at these issues of health, whether it's safe routes to schools or healthcare from access from public transit. And Iowa demonstrates to some degree that Access to healthcare is going to be one of the big issues, particularly with aging population, and it's a big transportation issue, not just for transit, but looking at, you know, overall how are we going to provide access to healthcare as folks continue to age. And again, in Iowa, that was integrated with a lot of other state initiatives. One of the tools that's currently underway, it's not out for release, it's in beta testing in 5 regions of the country, is called the Public Health and Transportation Corridor Planning Framework. And it's pretty straightforward in terms of it is aiming to provide information to transportation professionals as they're undertaking this sort of structured corridor planning process that they do on how they can incorporate health considerations. Recently, I believe it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, Ed mentioned that there was kind of a peer exchange session between the 5 jurisdictions or areas where this is being tested out, and this tool will be released in 2016. And it'll show some really practical ways that you can incorporate health in transportation corridor planning. And also a unique aspect here, again, it's agency cooperation. It did involve the Federal Transit Administration, not just the Federal Highway Administration. And again, for those of you who want to learn a little bit more about how health can be integrated when you're working with federally funded projects, Federal Highway has a website. We provide the link here. It's in the presentation, which is Moving Healthy, Linking Federal Highway Programs and Health. And it really just outlines some of the major program areas that Federal Highway views as impactful to health. And it shows what some of their funding sources are that may be available to support planning for health within your transportation planning. So finally, wanted to focus on the tool that was recently released, and there was a couple of you, I think, that were in the session this morning, trying not to repeat that information, but the Transportation and Health tool called the THT, from agencies with acronyms who like acronyms, was a joint initiative between the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. Department of Transportation, particularly the Federal Highway Administration, and working with the American Public Health Association. They came together in 2012, decided that a major initiative that should be pushed forward is creating a tool that would provide indicators that people can use across the country to really start the conversation and start the dialogue. It's not a tool where you put in your facts and your data and you get an exact map of what to do in your area, but it's a starting point for that dialogue. The goals of the Transportation and Health tool were, as I mentioned, to promote that dialogue, really raise the awareness, promote the dialogue, and begin to give some data to support the conversations. The online tool would be designed to be fairly easy to use. It would not be diving down to the very localized level, but be providing available data at regional and state levels. It would include not only these indicators, but once you got your snapshot of how your state or your region was doing, it would include practical strategies that could be implemented to support health and transportation. The Transportation and Health tool, when you get on there, you may wonder why these 14 indicators. So this portion of the presentation is just to talk a little bit about the fact we started with a set of 190 indicators. We started with working with the American Public Health Association and working with subject matter experts from health, from transportation, through an iterative process to narrow this down, got it down to a certain point, helped facilitate the development of evaluation criteria. Things like, is the data available at the regional and state level? Is the indicator something that, you remember you saw that model of whether it's policy, transportation outcome, health outcome. We wanted 14 indicators that provided a good representation all along that pathway of how people were doing from policy to health outcome. So there was evaluation criteria established. And finally, through that process, which included a core set of subject matter experts and then a really broadened workshop that had a couple dozen folks involved in it, got down to 14 final indicators. And then also provided in the tool was a set of 25 strategies that could improve health through transportation. So the final set of 14 indicators you see here on the screen, it ranges from transportation outputs to ultimate health outcomes to policy, which is kind of on the right, but it really comes first because policy was focused on things like Does the state have a complete streets program in place? How are they using bicycle and pedestrian funding? Because it's those investment decisions that result in transportation outcomes that then impact health outcomes. So when you go on the website, and we provide the web link here later in the presentation, you'll find on the left side, I don't know if you can see that, there's a page that provides the actual indicator results for regions and areas. And then there's a page on indicator profiles, which shows you those 14 indicators. I'll go to the next page. And for those 14 indicators, once you look into the data for your area, or as you're preparing to look in the data for your area, you'll find out all kinds of information about that data. A description, how transportation and health are connected with the evidence base for that, what kind of data was used as a foundation for that indicator. A lot of times we're using census data, American Community Survey, and then highway data that was available as well. Also in there are some thoughts on moving forward, and then also a link. So we wanted to not just place the strategies on the website, but for each indicator, there's a listing of what strategies might pertain to that indicator. So for anybody who's trying to affect change there around an indicator that they want to improve, you can see which strategies kind of pertain to that topic, and a host of references if you want to learn even more. So finally, I wanted to present an example of one of the indicators is fatalities by mode. So whether you're in an automobile, whether you're on foot, whether you're on bicycle, you can see this indicator for each of those categories. Well, the data that it is based in is the Fatal Analysis Reporting System by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So if you're in your area and you're like, well, this indicator is low, but I really kind of want to understand more what's going on with that data and what's going on in that area, you can go to the FARS website. And the FARS, it includes all these really big, terrible data tables that are, you know, interesting to look at, but hard to work with. But there's also maps on there, and I'll show you in a moment. So if you've gone to the transportation and health tool, you've decided to look at a particular region. In this case, we selected, you remember earlier I talked a little bit about the Puget Sound Regional Council and that area, their work in health and transportation. So on the transportation and health tool, you can pull up the indicators for Seattle, click on it, and you see on the right here, that doesn't all happen on the same screen, but you'll get a report of those indicators. So maybe you want to take a closer look at the road traffic fatalities exposure rate. So here, the score is 64th percentile. So, you know, in Seattle, maybe they want to be in the top, in the 80th or 90th percentile. So they start thinking about, you know, what's going on with bicyclists and then pedestrians at 77. So they want to dive in deeper. Well, you can go to the FARS data, and they have interactive maps online. You can click on there, and you can see first at a high level the pedestrian fatalities by county. And then you can even dive in, and you can get, you see these little push pins that are on the map, you can find locations of accidents. And over here on the left, there's a table, you can find out what time of day things are happening. So when you're really trying to talk to, you know, the engineers or planners, somebody who's trying to do specific work around transportation in a region, these types of maps and data help them dig in and really hone in on where that problem is. So we've got this somewhat broad seeming indicator, but you can dive into the data and you can find out even on a locationally specific basis how you might affect that indicator. So finally, the last couple of slides are about using the THT in your community. You know, discussing those indicator scores, finding those areas where improvement may be needed, figuring out who needs to be in that conversation, or if, you know, you're not within a transportation agency, who do you need to reach out to? And then finally, the piece in the tool that's very interesting to me and really exciting is that there's a whole set of strategies in here. And it's not just a listing of these strategies, which is what we've got on the slide. And you'll notice here that although some of these strategies can be led by health practitioners and health organizations, like encouraging bicycling and walking, or safe routes to schools, walking school buses, that they all rely on transportation decisions that provide that that safety? Where is the safe route to school? Do you have that in place? Where are the safe opportunities to bicycle and walk? And when you get in here, you'll see on the, again on the website, it's all navigable. On the left, you pick strategies. Here's your listing of strategies. And when you go into a particular strategy, it's not just a short description of the strategy. There is a host of information on there on resources to learn more about that strategy. There's as I mentioned, it links it to the indicators. Which indicators does this impact? And of most interest, I think, is how has this worked in practice? So there's some really good examples on there and agencies that you can look at that practice and then even contact them to find out more about how they've impacted health through transportation. So finally, the next steps for the transportation and health tool are, right now, it's on the website live. So when you click on that link, we encourage you, if you look down at the bottom right of the screen, there's a little submit your feedback button. So right now it's been launched, but it's still in testing, and there are minor changes that can be made in the near term, and then there's the goal that over time it could be all evolved into a THT 2.0, and just raising awareness that the THT is out there. And that's really it. We've got the link, as I mentioned, to the website. It is up live, and I think I'll save for question and answer, you know, any input that you all have on resources that are needed in this area. If you've got questions, Ed Christopher, as I mentioned, is very knowledgeable about some of the reports that I covered as well, the Transportation and Health Tool. We've got contacts here from the American Public Health Association and the CDC, and of course working together with USDOT. So I think we were gonna go through the presentations unless there was a quick question or two. If there was any questions now, we could entertain those, and then at the end we'll have a full set of question and answer.
Thank you.